Chapter 26. I slept hard and didn't wake up until well after sunrise. I heard voices, and after a minute I identified the sharp, crackling edges of tone that told me they were coming out of a radio. I got up and gave myself a washcloth bath at the bathroom sink. It wasn't as nice as a hot tub, and not even as nice as a shower, but I didn't feel like sticking my aching leg into a trash bag and taping it shut so that I could get one without getting my bandages wet. I couldn't find my clothes anywhere, so I wandered out into the house in my bare feet and mangled pants. The hospital staff had cut the pant leg mostly off of my wounded leg, and the edges were rough and uneven. I passed a mirror in the hallway of the house and stopped to examine myself. I looked like a joke, a bad joke. "Mysterious power outage continues," the radio announcer was saying. "In fact, it's difficult to estimate how long we'll be able to stay on the air, or even how many people are actually receiving this broadcast. Gasoline-powered generators have been encountering odd trouble throughout the city. Batteries seem unreliable, and other gasoline-powered engines, including those of vehicles, are behaving unpredictably. The telephone lines have been having all kinds of problems, and cell phones seem to be all but useless. O'Hare is completely shut down, and as you can imagine, it's playing havoc with airline traffic throughout the nation." Thomas was standing in the kitchen at the gas stove. He was making pancakes and listening to an old battery-powered radio sitting on Murphy's counter. He nodded to me, put a finger against his lips, and flicked a glance at the radio. I nodded, folded my arms, and leaned against the doorway to listen to the announcer continue. "National authorities have declined to comment on the matter, though the mayor's office has given a statement blaming the problems on unusual sunspot activity." Thomas snorted. The radio prattled on. "That answer doesn't seem to hold much water, given that in cities as near as the south side of Joliet, all systems are behaving normally. Other sources have suggested everything from an elaborate Halloween hoax to the detonation of some kind of electromagnetic pulse device, which has disrupted the city's electrical utilities. A press conference has reportedly been scheduled for later this evening. We'll be on the air all through the current crisis, giving you up-to-date information as quickly as we..." The announcer's voice broke up into wild static and sound. Thomas reached over and flicked the radio off. "Had it on for 20 minutes, he said. "Got a clear signal for maybe 5 of them." I grunted. "Do you know what's happened?"
"Maybe," I said. "Where's Butters?"
Thomas tilted his head toward the back door. "Walking mouse." I took a seat at the little kitchen table, getting my weight off of my injured leg.
"Today's going to be pretty intense," I said.
Thomas flipped a pancake.
"Because of the heirs of Kemmler?"
"Yeah," I said. "If Mab is right about what they're trying to do, someone has to stop them before tonight."
"Why?"
"Because after that, I'm not sure anyone will be able to stop them," I said.
My brother nodded.
"Think you can take them?"
"They're fighting among themselves," I said. "They're all going to be more worried about their fellow necromancers than they are about me."
"Uh-huh," Thomas said. "But do you think you can take them?"
"No."
"Then what you're talking about isn't heroism, man. It's suicide."
I shook my head.
"I don't need to kill them. I only need to stop them. If I play this right, I won't need to fight anybody."
Thomas flipped another pancake. The cooked side was a uniform shade of perfect light brown.
"How are you going to manage that?"
"They need 2 things to make this godhood thing go," I said. "The Earl King and the knowledge in the word of Kemmler. If I can deny them either, the whole shebang is canceled."
"You figure out those numbers yet?" Thomas asked.
"No."
"So what? You're going to put a hit on the Earl King to keep him from showing up?"
I shook my head.
"Mab gave me the impression that the Earl King was in the same weight class as her."
"She tough?" Thomas asked.
"Beyond the pale," I said.
"So you can't kill the Earl King. What then?"
"I summon him myself."
He arched an eyebrow.
"Look, no matter how mighty he is, he can't be in 2 places at once. If I call him up and keep him busy, then the heirs can't summon him to their ceremony."
He nodded.
"How are you going to call him?"
"The book," I said. "It's almost got to be one of those poems or songs. One of them must be an incantation to attract the Earl King's attention."
"But you don't have the book," Thomas said.
"Yeah," I said. "That's the kink I haven't worked out yet."
Thomas nodded, scraping the last of the batter out of a bowl and onto the griddle.
Even if you do figure out how to call the Earl King, it sounds like he might be kind of dangerous.
Probably, but impersonal. That means not as dangerous as one of the heirs going godly and showing up to give me some payback for annoying them, I shrugged. And the only one in danger will be me.
Wrong, Thomas said. I'll be with you.
I had been sure he would say something like that, but hearing it still felt pretty good. Thomas had a truckload of baggage, and he wasn't always the most pleasant person in the world, but he was my brother. Family. He'd stand with me. Which made what came next hard to say.
You can't, I said. His expression smoothed over into neutrality.
Because of Mavra?
No, I said. Because I'm going to bring in the White Council.
Thomas dropped his spatula onto the kitchen floor.
I have to, I said. It took all the wardens together to take down Kemmler and his students last time. I might not be able to prevent the Earl King's arrival. If that happens, someone has to stop the heirs directly. I can't do it. The wardens can. It's as simple as that.
Okay, he said. But that doesn't explain why I can't stick with you.
Because to them you're just a White Court vampire, Thomas, with whom I am supposed to be at war. If they learn that you're my brother, it might give the people in the council, who don't like me, grounds to question my loyalty. And even if they believe that I'm not acting against the council or being controlled by you, they'd still be suspicious of you. They'd want assurances that you were on their team.
They'd use me, he said quietly, and use me against you.